And Acts chapter 2 at verse number 36, we find Peter addressing the people in Jerusalem after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. How many remember that day?
Amen.
Amen. I hope everybody in here is striving to be filled with the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Operating in the power, praying for those spiritual gifts to come on you, so that you can operate in those spiritual gifts, not for yourselves or for your glory, but for the glory of God and for the benefit of other people around you. Amen.
Amen.
To be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover.
Amen.
To be able to have faith that will cause us to even be able to move mountains in our way.
Amen.
That's what comes from having the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Peter was weak-kneed and backboneless on the day of the crucifixion because he was not baptized with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. He had not received the power that Jesus said you would receive after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen?
Amen?
This Peter that we see addressing this crowd who thought that those that were spilling out of that upper room were drunk because they were speaking in other tongues and they were kind of tears and their stammering lips, and some of them were probably stumbling around a little bit. I'm falling out in the spirit. How many likes to see all that stuff going on?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That means the church is alive when we see that.
Amen.
That means that's the evidence of that Holy Spirit in us. And so this is what was going on this day of Pentecost. And these people thought that they were drunk. And so Peter stood up and began to address the crowd. And he even told them that they had missed the Messiah. The one that they waited for. The Israelites, the Jews, were waiting for the promised Messiah to come and to restore Israel to its former glory. The throne of David would be established forever. And in their minds, they preconceived that what was going to happen is that there would be this great overthrow of the government. And once again, there would be a Jewish empire instead of a Roman empire. But they missed the Holy Spirit. They missed the Word of God. They missed the Son of God who was in their midst. The Word, John said, became flesh and dwelt among us. And they missed it. And so this is the message that Peter, the same one who denied knowing that Jesus even existed, I don't know that man, on the day of the crucifixion, here stands up, and this is how he ended in verse 36. He said, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ."
Amen.
See, that's boldness. That boldness is the same boldness that we need to have today.
Amen.
In our testimony, we walk around sometimes too much as Christians with our head down. And, you know, somebody says, "Are there any Christians here?" And we all... Sometimes we look around first to see if we're the only ones. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was like the prophet that said, "With this word that God has given me, I can't keep it inside.
Amen.
It's like a fire shut up in my bones.
Amen.
I've got to speak it. I can't help but speak the word that's in me." And that's why we need to have the word in us, so that it comes alive in us, that it bubbles out of us. That's what happened. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ, the firstborn, the only begotten of the Father, was crucified, buried, but then raised to life everlasting. And because He was raised to life, we also become dead to sin, we're buried in baptism, and we're raised to life again as new creatures with life everlasting. Amen. Well, he went on to say this in verse 37, that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so today, we see that these people that believed were baptized. We have baptism today. And I want to talk just for a few minutes, and I even set myself up a little timer here that'll go off, and I'll see if I can stick on schedule today. It'll be kind of fun. It'll be like a game to see if Pastor Rick can actually stop on time. I know some of you, although we're not betting people, would probably be tempted to bet against that. But I can make it happen. How many people we got that bet and gamble in here? Just trying to catch you. Can't blame a guy for trying. But I want to talk about taking the plunge today. And so as we get into the Word, I want you to pray with me that God will open up our spiritual eyes, that He'll remind us of who we are in Christ, that He'll reveal who we are in Christ if you don't know, and that we can go on from this place ready to take this gospel message with boldness the way that Peter did to the world. Let's pray. Father, we come before You, a church filled with thankful people. We've already seen and witnessed You heal people and deliver people in our midst today. We know that because we prayed, and when we pray by faith, believing that it'll come to pass. So we thank You already for that. We come now hungering and thirsting after righteousness in our lives. We ask that You will fill us, and we're excited because we believe Your Word that says, when we come that way, we shall be filled. We ask that You would rebuke the devourer who tries to come and rob from us the truth. But rather, Lord, each word we ask that You would plant in our hearts like a seed. Water it with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can grow up as trees of righteousness, truly be called the planting of the Lord. We've gathered together for one purpose today, and that is to bring You glory. We count it a privilege and an honor. And so we thank You for all these things. By faith we believe it, in Jesus' name. If you believe, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so there are some reasons that I have written down to take the plunge. And the first one is for salvation. And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to be around, moving around a lot. So move over to Acts chapter 27 with me real quick. Acts chapter 27. There is a passage of Scripture here. For those that don't know, the Apostle Paul was arrested many times, but one time that he was arrested, he declared that he wanted, as a Roman citizen, to stand before Caesar and be judged. And so, upon finding out that there was no guilt in him, the magistrate said he could be let go except for his plea to stand before Caesar. Now, why did he do that? Because God had told him that he would stand before leaders, that he would bring the gospel message even to those in great power. And so, God has a purpose for everything in everyone's life. To get to this place, they had to sail on a ship because they didn't have many planes back then. And there weren't many roads to drive the cars on, which they also didn't have. So most of the long travel was done either by walking, by some sort of camel, or if you had a lot of money, horse, but there wasn't a lot of them. And most of the time you hopped on a ship. That's what happened to these Roman guards who had some prisoners. Amongst them was Paul. They came into a place where Paul had told them to not to leave the port, because God had shown him that the ship would be destroyed and everything would be lost if they didn't wait to sail until a better time. And of course, when God tells somebody something, it happens. Amen?
Amen?
And so they come to a place where the only way that they can survive is to take the plunge, to abandon ship. And that's where we're going to take up the story here, verse 39 of Acts chapter 27. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get on planks or on pieces of the ship, and in this way everyone reached land in safety. Amen.
Amen.
And so, sometimes you have to literally abandon ship for salvation. And that's exactly what happened. Now, Paul jumped off that ship with all the confidence because God had already told him that everyone would survive. That takes faith. You got to have faith. If you're going to survive in this world, sometimes you may be on a ship, metaphorically speaking, that's sinking. A lot of times people try to hold on to the things of this world. It's a sinking ship. Let me tell you something. There's no reason to hold on to anything in this world. Let it all go. You may be comfortable with it because it's something that you've always known. You may be familiar with people that you hang around with that you know aren't good for you. Listen, if you're hanging around people that are a spiritual anchor, that are pulling you backwards, you try to get forward, they pull you backwards, you need to cut those ropes. You need to let those anchors go and drop into the sea. Amen. You need to put on the newness and renew your mind and allow Christ to make you a new creature. Sometimes you have to abandon ship in order to survive. Salvation comes from the Lord, but you've got to trust Him. See, we hold on to little pieces of the world because we're familiar with it. How many likes new things? I don't mean new cars. I mean changes. Some people like change. Some people don't like change at all. I've seen people suffer. I know for sure that I have. Sister Claire, I hate to move. How many loves to move from one house to another? That's one of the things that I hate more than anything in this world. And I have stayed in houses that I've hated. Just because I understood that the only way to get out of here is to pack up everything, haul it all to some other place. I mean, I've lost friends moving. Because halfway through the moving, they say, I didn't realize you had all this stuff. I've lost friends because halfway in the middle of moving, they say, are you using this for anything? How many knows what I'm talking about? They pick up your saws. They pick up, are you going to be taking this with you? And you got to fight that the whole time. And you know they've gotten stuff put away in their car. I thought you were throwing that out. So I hate moving. I've stayed there. But you know what? If we're ever going to move from one place spiritually, we're going to have to unload all that stuff. Amen. And we're going to have to trust God that what's new and what's ahead of us, even though we don't understand it or can't see it, it's going to be good for us. We have to believe God's word that says all things are going to work together for our good. Amen. We don't have any reason to run into despair and to throw up our hands and say there's no use because things seem to be out of control in this world. God has everything in control. There's a purpose for everything. Paul was supposed to get to Caesar, and all of a sudden the ship is wrecked and totally lost. Everything about it. They have to swim to a shore. They don't even know where they're going. And yet, Paul never for a moment worried or distrusted God. I pray that we could ever have that kind of faith. Amen. That we would take the plunge and we would jump out of the ship and totally cut ties with everything in this world. That we would be ye separate and change from being people that hang out. You know what? Those things that we hang on to that give us comfort from the world, we need to say, I don't want those things. They only satisfy me for a short time. I need that spiritual drink. I need that living water that fills me up. I need to drink from that cup that Jesus told that woman at the well about that you can drink of and never grow thirsty again. I want to eat that bread, that new manna, the bread from heaven, the word of God that causes me to be full and I never go hungry. Got to get rid of all these things in the world. Sometimes we just got to abandon ship. If you're that person today, take my advice. Don't suffer anymore. You move into that realm of following after Christ, and all the path before you is laid straight. Your steps will be guided by God. The steps of a righteous man, the word says, are ordered of the Lord. You don't even have to worry about where you're going. You just keep walking. God's going to direct your path. One door will shut, and you can stand there trying to knock that door open. It is never going to open because God's got another door over here that you're supposed to be going through. Yes. Amen. Man, I watch Christians get in despair. I lost my job. I lost my house. Just wait. You can't get anything new until you get rid of the old. Amen. Sometimes we have to abandon ship to save others. And that's what Paul did. All of those prisoners were saved because of one man, Paul. There was a centurion that believed what Paul was preaching. And their responsibility was to not let those prisoners go. And their logic told them the best way to do it is to kill them. Then I can say none of them escaped. But because of one man, Paul says, jump. Listen, if you trust me, if you jump with me off this ship, every person will be saved. And they were. So sometimes you have to abandon ship to save others. You're not going to do anybody any good in your family or your friends, your circle of people you know, until you're right with God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that right now. You can preach from a bar stool all you want. But until you get in the church and they see a change in your life, they aren't going to change.
Amen.
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 I've had people tell me. God spoke to me while I was in my attic smoking a joint. I don't know who talked to you. But that particular guy was all hung up about the Illuminati. I don't care about the Illuminati, whether they be real or not. The only one I want to know about is Jesus Christ. I want to know the truth. I want to know what's going to give me salvation. Amen. So you ain't going to save others unless you jump in. Let them follow you. Well, if I take off and leave the things behind in the world, I'll lose all my friends. Do you know that for a fact? Or will they follow you into salvation and everlasting life? Amen. You won't know unless you do it. Sometimes you have to take the plunge just to be saved. Flip back to Acts chapter 8. I'm staying in the same book. Let's see. I got 10 minutes and 40 seconds left. I can tell you, from where I stand, I'm in trouble. Acts chapter number 8, right at verse number 26. One of my favorite parts in the New Testament. This has got to be one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. This really happened. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?'" Now there's a good question, isn't it?
Right. Amen.
You ever shake your head and say, boy, the world just doesn't understand the Bible, does it? They just don't get it. Well, did you ever try to explain it to them? Light bulb. That's our job.
Right.
To bring the gospel message. It's a simple message. Jesus Christ died for your sins. If you believe that and confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive those sins. And if you'll believe on Him and turn away from your wickedness and follow after Him, be baptized and you'll have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's what the Word says. That's the gospel message. That sounds pretty simple, Pastor. That's why I get it. Amen. We make it complicated.
Right.
So, the eunuch says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." That's Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That's how simple it is. "But Pastor, I don't know the good news about Jesus." Well, that's what we're supposed to learn. That's why we come to church every Sunday, and I know it's hard to pay attention for more than 15 minutes. I get the same problem when I'm sitting there. But as you're daydreaming and stuff, try to listen to some of it, and then Monday through Saturday, pick up the Bible and read it. Amen.
Amen.
Get that word in you. understand. When you have questions, don't think someone's going to think something bad of you. Be honest enough, like this Ethiopian, high up ranking, somebody important who said, I don't understand what I'm reading. How can I unless someone explains it to me? Go ahead and ask questions to someone who knows. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know how many people are afraid of that? Because they're afraid they're going to look dumb.
Right.
You know why? Because in this world, the way the world treats you, if you don't know something, they give you the evil eye. Shake their head. Tsk, tsk, tsk. And all of that kind of stuff. But you know what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
We want to build each other up.
Right.
Because when you come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is, it's going to excite you. You're going to want more. It tastes good. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And once you do, you just want more of Him. I want to know more about God. I'm going to be with Him for eternity. I'm going to stand before Him someday, and He's going to give me a reward for all the things that I've done here on earth. I want to know Him.
Amen.
I want to know what pleases Him. I want to know what displeases Him.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to do what pleases God.
Amen.
And I don't want to do what displeases Him.
Yes.
I want to stand before Him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to say, come on, enter into your rest. Amen.
Yes.
And so here's this guy hearing the good news. And in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? I love it. That's faith. See, that's believing. Do you know there's people in the church, and maybe even in this room, that have been believers? How many believers do we have here in the room today? Do you know there's believers everywhere, but there's people that have never been baptized? I don't know why. I just don't see the need for it. This man saw the need for it.
Amen.
Every other person that came, the 3,000 that Peter spoke to there on the day of Pentecost, they realized it. They were baptized. Cornelius and his family, upon receiving the Holy Ghost first, were baptized after believing. Jesus said to go forth and baptize, make disciples of all men and baptize them. So why doesn't the church people do it? I'll tell you why, because they don't believe. Now that's judgmental, Pastor. You better believe it. Sometimes it's easy to see. Here's a man that believed. Philip didn't say to him, now listen, as soon as you can, get baptized. Philip didn't get a chance to. Because this guy heard the gospel message. He told him about Jesus. He said, Jesus said to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, then there's some water. Why can't I be baptized right now?
Yes.
Because he believed. He had faith. No one had to talk him into it.
Right.
I love it. I would have loved to see the look on Philip's face. Well, honestly, I can't think of a reason why not. So he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Amen.
Amen.
That's my favorite part of the Bible.
Yeah.
Gene Roddenberry stole that for Star Trek. That's the guy that wrote the original Star Trek stuff. And he made transporters to move somebody from this place to another. And God already did it. There's nothing new under the sun. It's my favorite part right there. I'm like that sci-fi stuff. It says they came up out of the water. It's gone. Pastor, you don't really believe that, do you? I believe it. Because the Bible says we'll be caught away.
Right.
On the day that He blows that trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air. It's the same word that was used in the Greek right there for both things. We're going to be caught up, snatched up, taken violently, moved, gone, in the twinkling of an eye. That's why we're excited. That's why we serve God. We're not just making it from day to day, hoping to make it from pillar to post, one day at a time, sister. If we can just make it into glory. Oh, I'm going to make it to glory. I'm going to go shouting, though. Amen. There's going to be a trumpet. There's going to be the shout of the archangel. All those dead in Christ that we mourn for, they're going to be shouting and jumping up. And we're going to go flying up to meet them in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means forever and ever. Amen. So sometimes we need to take the plunge to be saved. Philip told that eunuch. That eunuch said, you know what? I need to be saved. And so he did it. Sometimes we need to take the plunge for healing. You don't have to go to 2 Kings 5, but when you get home, read 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. It's the story of a man named Naaman who had leprosy. It's Old Testament stuff. God worked miracles from the beginning to the end. Sometimes you need to take the plunge and trust God for your healing. You have to do what God says to do. Pray about it. You know, sometimes we're sick and we're looking for the right cure. We go from doctor to doctor and they're giving you medications and the medications hurt you. And now you got to get a medication to fix what the medication did. Amen? Oh, there goes Pastor Rick denouncing doctors again. No, I'm not. You know, not doing that at all. But what I'm telling you is they're practicing. And they'll tell you that. We're practicing physicians. Right? And who are they practicing on? Us. So I'm going to go to the great physician and I'm going to say, God, what do I need? And He will give you wisdom.
Amen.
He'll tell you what to take for it. He'll tell you what to do. And if you trust Him and you do what He says to do, Naaman was told by a prophet just to dip in the muddy waters of the Jordan River 7 times. And when you come up, you'll be healed. The prophet wouldn't come out of the house. He didn't do some sort of, you know, dance or mumbo jumbo. I like that word. He didn't do any of that kind of stuff. No great anything. Just simply said, send his messenger out and said, go tell him to dip in the water. Yeah. Do you know how mad that guy was?
Right.
He was the head of an army. The guy won't even come out and see me.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've watched Christians do the same thing. They can't talk to the pastor.
Mm.
The pastor's too busy.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't even want a healing then. If he can't talk to me, well, that's you.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
Right.
Suffer if that's what you want to do. But I don't need the pastor to pray for me. I can believe for my own miracle. Now, I love it when you all pray for me if something's wrong with me. I'm not telling you don't. But if I'm by myself, I'm not going to sit there and suffer. I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, I command this body to be made whole. I command this disease to leave me. I command these symptoms to subside. And I trust God. And I believe that He will. Fortunately, somebody told Naaman, one of his servants, listen, if he would have told you to stand on your head and do something big, if he would have came out with smoke and mirrors and stuff, you would have done it, right? Well, yeah. Well, why don't you just do what he says and give it a shot? Naaman jumped in there, dunked in there 7 times, came up, and it says, look, I'm out of time. Told you I said it. You just didn't believe me. Now you can see how far I went. Now we'll see how far I go over it, actually. We'll start it over again. There we go. That's it. We'll start it over. I like reset. I'll be like, look, the timer's not done yet. Seven times. He comes up. The Bible says when he came up, because he did what God said to do, because he finally trusted in the Lord, his healing was so good that it says his skin was like a baby skin. Soft and smooth and no wrinkles. Healed from a sure death sentence. See, you can hardly get leprosy anymore unless you're messing around, playing around with your pet armadillo. How many's got a pet armadillo? Because you shouldn't. They can carry leprosy. You probably shouldn't eat the stuff either. There's other stuff you can eat, like possum or squirrel. I just throw that stuff out there because I know some of you all are from the South. And any good meat will do, right? In the stew? You put enough of that gator seasoning in there, it'll all taste the same anyway, right? Gotcha. Sometimes you've got to take the plunge for healing. You've got to trust God. Just jump in and do what God said to do. He said, if there's any sick among you, to call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray for them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But I watch every single week people I know are suffering with some sort of ailment, and they just sit there. We're going to have altar call now for anyone that's sick. How you doing there, brother? Oh, I'm doing all right. No, you're not. You're hacking away and you're probably going to make the rest of us sick. If you do what God said to do, watch what happens. It doesn't say the prayer of faith might save the sick. He said these signs will follow those that believe. I believe it. When we pray because we believe it's going to happen. And the signs that will follow are the sick will recover. And man, we live that around here, don't we? Amen. And so, in closing, Matthew chapter 14, real quick. I just want to remind you of one more reason to take the plunge, and that is to see miracles. How many want to see miracles? I'll tell you what, if you see miracles, it'll excite you. If you see a miracle and it doesn't excite you, there's something wrong with you. You better take your pulse. Last month, Brother Kirby was here. We saw a woman with a blind eye see. Her eye was, she was blind. And she all of a sudden could see. And that was exciting. Amen. But I saw four or five people just sitting there going, you know what? They didn't believe it. They thought it was a trick. I don't believe that. You want to hear it. I actually took that just a couple minutes, 6 minutes and all. It's on the website. You can listen to it. Just listen to the audio of it. You can hear it in her voice when she realizes she can see. It wasn't fake. She didn't even believe it for a second. You could see it. When Brother Kirby took his hand up, you're going to see. And she says, it's still there. Now, most preachers I've seen would have went, okay, well, sister, you keep believing and that'll come to you next. Brother Kirby said, all right, we're going to believe right now. Let's pray, church. Amen. That's exciting. We want to see miracles. Miracles are there to impress people that don't believe. Because you see somebody that came in that couldn't walk, and all of a sudden they're walking out of their wheelchair, it gets your attention. That's what got the attention to all those disciples, Jesus, when his ministry was going on. And then he would say, now that you've seen the miracles, and a lot of people only came for the food and the miracles, but those that heard the gospel and received it, they were saved. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And I would say that if you have to change for the baptism, now would be a good time to get started on that. Amen? And I mean your clothes. We know you've already changed your heart. God loves you. Shh. Don't tell people that, Sister Claire. Verse 22 of Matthew 14. Jesus, it says, immediately made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake, and while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. How silly of them. None of us in this room would do that, right? We'd have been like, Jesus, Lord. I think we all would have done the same thing. But every time I see that part about it's a ghost, anyone ever see Scooby-Doo? That's all I can think of every time I read that. It's a ghost. It's my only impression. I'm sorry. Apologize for that. But they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter. I love Peter. Speaks before he thinks. Says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water. If it's you, tell me. I just said it to me. If I was Jesus, I'd have said, didn't I just say it's me? But he says, okay, come on out. Water's fine. Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Miracles. How many of you have heard in your life that Jesus is the only one that ever walked on water? Well, he's not. Peter did it too. See, why did God allow that to happen? So that we understood that when we trust in God, we can do the same things He did. Amen. He told his disciples, if you believe, you're going to do greater miracles even than what you've seen happen while I was here.
Amen.
The dead raised back to life. Blind eyes open. People walking that aren't supposed to walk. A soul that looked like they were lost forever because they were tangled up in all kinds of sin and debauchery and wickedness, saved and changed.
Amen.
A man's heart that's wicked and evil all of a sudden becomes sweet and lovable.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
God changing people that have hot tempers that can't even drive down the road without losing it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden are telling people, you go first. That's a miracle. Don't miss that. How many were like that? And admit it.
Amen.
God changed your life. And all of a sudden, you can take time and say, you know what? You first.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. We're not going to see that unless we take the plunge and step out on faith. You'll never see a change in your life unless you trust God. You can walk on water. How many believe that?
Yes. Amen.
All right, we're going to go out to this lake. How many? See, the problem is, your head believes it. Getting your heart to match up. I mean, your heart believes it, but trying to get your head and your heart together is the hard part. Don't feel bad. The same thing happened to Peter here because it says that after he got out by Jesus, that he looked around and saw the wind and he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, help me. Just like you and just like me. And you know how wonderful Jesus is? When he sees you starting to get losing your faith and sinking, he doesn't go, oh, well, another one bites the dust. He reaches out and he grabs you. And the word says his arm is not so short that he can't reach you no matter where you are. And that his ear is not stopped up that he can't hear you crying. So today, if you are lost, if you took that step of faith and you went for the Lord and you walked out to him and you got close to him, but all of a sudden you let the cares of the world begin to pull you back down, trust in God. Let him pull you up. Stop beating yourself up because you feel guilty for what you've done. Thank the Lord for conviction and allow him to change you and raise you up today.
Amen.
He'll lift you up and he'll love you. He'll throw his arms around you and say, oh, why did you doubt? I'm here with you all the time. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to see miracles happen, you've got to get out of the boat. And I don't want to leave. This is it. I'm done, Mark. You tell them that I've got 5 minutes left and I'm out of here. All right. Thank you. Generous. He gave me an extra 5 minutes. I'm asking for 5. He gives me 10. Now, I'm really almost done. But go back to Acts chapter 28 because I don't want to leave those people just on the beach. They did make it there, but we don't want to leave them there. We want to see what happened to them. Because if you'll trust in God and you'll get out of that boat, God has a reason why he moves you in life. Okay, we think God's punishing us because everything changed. No, he's moving us. He's going to use us. Paul has a job to do, and that's to bring the message to Caesar. But that doesn't mean he's going directly there. God has a job for each one of us, and God will use us on our journey if we'll trust him. Verse 28 or 1 of 28 says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. That island is still there, by the way. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Vipers are poisonous snakes, right? Like a cottonmouth. And you shouldn't mess with them. Even though there was a guy in Tampa last year that he found one and he decided to make it his pet. And the story was that on the 13th time that he kissed it, it bit him on the face. How many saw that story? All I can imagine is that every time that snake must be like, man, if he does that again. And I don't know where he drew the line, but he sounded like a pretty patient snake 12 times. I don't know if I turned the other cheek 12 times. But that snake on the 13th one said, man, that's it for me. 12 is good, but 13, you're out of here. And that guy's face blew up like a basket. I mean, he looked bad. I saw the pictures. And he learned himself a valuable lesson. You don't make pets of vipers. And so this viper grabs hold of Paul, The islanders say he must, this is karma. See, that's what the world would say today, isn't it? Karma got him. They don't know what's going on. They thought that they were going to witness. So you know what? They just sat there staring at him and waiting. Paul shook it off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time, seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Paul preached the gospel to them, and they were saved. In verse number 7, it says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that we needed. Amen. Now we know why Paul was there. For miracles to happen. Amen. Trust God. You got to get off that ship. You got to trust God. You got to do whatever it is He calls you to do. Because no matter what it looks like is going wrong in your life, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care how many times you get bit. Do you know what Jesus told the disciples? That poison would not kill them. That they would not be harmed by snakes. They'd be able to handle snakes. That's why we do snake handling on Sunday nights. I'm only kidding. It was a joke. I don't really do that. But if you just happen to be moving some wood, working on the church property, a viper latches on to you, you don't have to worry. Somebody tries to poison you. We've had missionaries out in the bush in Haiti. Somebody tried to poison them. That poison doesn't do a thing to them. That's because God's word doesn't lie.
Amen.
Trust Him. Take the plunge, no matter what it is, to save someone else, to be saved today, to see miracles happen, or to receive your healing. If you'll do that, you'll find that God is faithful to His word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all that You're doing here today. We give You praise and we give You glory for Your word. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Father, we've witnessed these stories today of men who have trusted in You. They've walked on water. They've suffered no ill effects from viper bites. They've been able to lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. They preached the gospel and people were saved. Father, help us be like those men. Give us the words to speak. Fill us with the Holy Ghost that we're filled with boldness and power. Father, I pray for anyone in this room right now, Lord, that hears this word, that their heart is touched and they just don't know if they can let go and push away from the boat. But Father, I ask that You will cause each man, each woman in this room to let go of the things of this world. That they can grab hold of the things that You have which are better. That we can't even imagine, Father God. I pray that You'll give us strength today as we reach out to You, Lord. I know that You will cause us, Lord, to be lifted up. So, Father, I pray by faith, believing that each soul in this room today will come to the knowledge of the truth. That will walk faithfully with You. And, Father God, that we will boldly testify of Your goodness to us. Help us to be used in this last day as the salt of the earth. Set us on a hill like a lighted house, Lord, that all around us will be changed when they come into our presence, Lord, because of the Holy Ghost in us. We pray this by faith, in faith, believing that it will come to pass. And so we thank You for it now, and we give You praise for it. We ask that You will bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.